take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take on the helmet of salvation. We dealt with that last Sunday. Today we're looking at the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. It's got to take note of the fact the only weapon that we have, the only thing that we can use against the devil is a sword. It's not a machine gun, not a bomb, not a not a jet with all these little attachments. It's a sword. And here the sword is the Word of God. Now that may be a problem for some people, because some people, when you're talking about we're in a fight against the devil, we want to use our fists. So how in the world are we going to use the Word of God to fight the devil? When we fight, you gotta get ready to do some fighting. Well, if you're not going to use your fist, well, the Word of God doesn't have any that many curse words in it. So how are we going to fight without using curse words? No, this battle that we have, it's not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What does it mean that it's not carnal? It's not of this world. It's not what we're used to doing. It's different than the norm. So no, we can't ball up our fists and use our karate. Cut off Bruce Lee. Y'all remember Bruce Lee?
Yes.
Not doing MMA, that's for the younger generation. Mixed martial arts. We're not going to use our words. We have to do something what? Different. Because the devil expects for us to do what we are what? Used to doing. The devil wants us to get caught up in our emotions and react to the circumstances, rather than allowing God to be able to minister to us throughout whatever it is that we're going through. It is a different thing to fight the devil, because we can't beat him up like we beat people up. When we use the words of this world, we're not hurting him. We're what? Helping his cause. So what do we do then? No, we can't throw the Bible. No, we can't conceal a bomb in the Bible, a spiritual bomb. Nope, it doesn't what? Work like that. The only weapon we have is the Word of God. The only weapon that we have is that special gift that God has given us, so that we may be able to have something that the devil cannot come against. But there's a problem as Christians, how we are perceived. Because what we have to understand is that as we find ourselves in this battle, the only way we gain ground is by doing one thing. It's not by taking the Word of God and just reading it. Because can I tell you a little secret? The devil doesn't mind that we're reading the Bible. I've heard people brag, I have read the Bible from Genesis to Revelations 10 times. The devil doesn't mind you reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation 10 times. Can I tell you something? He doesn't even mind that you study the Bible. You say, what you mean? Bible study, that's what we're supposed to do. Yeah, I want you to come to Sunday School NBC and Wednesday night Bible study. I want you to get engaged in understanding the Word of God. But he really doesn't mind you becoming a Bible scholar. Because if you read the Bible and study the Bible and do nothing with the Bible, do nothing with the Word, you follow into his plan. We're not just supposed to have this book on our shelves, not just supposed to use this book to make us, what, feel better about our circumstances. Because, see, the devil doesn't mind you feeling good. Because sometimes when we feel good about what's going on in our life, we sit back and do what? Nothing. See, what the devil becomes afraid of is when we allow God to use the Word of God to not only transform us, but we become transforming agents. Yes. That's the difference. That's the big difference. Wait just a minute. I think that's your job, Reverend. You're the one that's supposed to be preaching and teaching and causing us to change. Nope. Can I tell you something? I'm just a vehicle in which God uses. I'm just supposed to point, and then here you have to realize when I point, that's not me pointing. That's God telling me to point in that direction. And here, when I point, it's not supposed to be the first time you hear it, because if we've all been praying, guess what? God has been speaking to us. And when I point, we are all under the understanding not only this is what God wants, but God has already spoken to you about it as well. So we are all on one accord because we have the same person doing what? Talking to us. We're reading the what? Same Word of God, and we're moving in the same direction because we're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead God and direct us, and not our emotions, and not our friends, and not what we want, and not what they want. See, what we have to understand here, when we begin to use the Word of God, we can't use it in such a way that we gain the benefit for it. Because it's easy for us to tell people, you know, who are outside the church to stop sinning. It's easy for us to say, you're going to hell. Mm-hmm. Guess what? They're used to us saying that. But that's not how God wants us to use the Word. The Word of God is not supposed to be used to condemn us and others. Because there's no condemnation in who? Christ Jesus. So here, if I'm not going to use the Word to make people know that I'm holy, then what am I supposed to be doing with the Word of God? If I'm not supposed to be using the Word of God to let everybody else know what they're not doing right, what am I supposed to do with this Word of God? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because here, when we are operating in Galatians 5 and 22, we heard the song how we are supposed to be meek and how we're supposed to be long-suffering, how we're supposed to show the love of God, and how we're supposed to be kind and gentle. Here, those are the fruit of the Spirit, right? Remember, I told you there's a connection between the fruit of the Spirit and God's what? Holy armor. We have to know that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, and we use the Word of God not to condemn, but to help. Amen. We use the Word of God not to condemn, but to minister. Amen. Here, we use the Word of God not to tear down, but to encourage. And here, if we use it right, then we find ourselves in the position where we're hurting the devil instead of giving him what? Ground. If you open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, we'll see exactly what our job is. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, we find out in that particular passage that essentially we have a responsibility. Here, if we're going to be in this ministry, no, I'm not talking about the Mount Sinai ministry. I'm talking about anybody else's ministry, but the ministry of God. If we're going to use the Word of God as it has been intended, we are part of a ministry. The war that we fight is not a war that tears down individuals, but it is a war that builds up individuals to go out and continue the ministry of helping one another within the body of Christ and those who are within the world, so that they may be able to see what we have and want to be what? A part of us. We have to understand that here, God is not looking at how many people have been healed. He's not looking at how many blessings that you have in your life, because here we have been deceived in believing it's about us and our prayers about us and ours. But it's not supposed to be about us and ours. Our prayers should be about, Lord God, how are you going to use me? What is it that you want me to do? Lord God, how in the world do I do this that you have given me? It's a burden. How do I give this over to you in order for you to guide me through every step of this journey that I'm on? 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, tells us exactly what we are supposed to do. Starting in the 3rd verse, it tells us, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. Haven't we seen that before? Isn't that in Galatians? 5th chapter, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in punishments, in torments, in labors, in watchings, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by what? Oh, isn't that another one? By what? Kindness. Isn't that another one? By the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned. Oh, let's go down to 7. By the word of truth, we touched on that before, haven't we? And by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the what? The left. That's how we use the word of God. You say, what you mean? We got to do all of that stuff? Let me simplify it for you. When we began looking at the first passage, when we talk about we give no offense in anything, well, that's just simply we have to get out of the way and not let our feelings get involved. As we minister for God, it's not about our feelings. It's not about what people said. Because can I tell you something? Just as they mistreated Jesus and he was perfect, we're not perfect, so they have more targets. So guess what? They're going to mistreat us. Just as they abuse Jesus, they're going to what? Abuse us. It doesn't have anything to do with you. It has everything to do with who? God. And the devil using individuals to try to tear you down, to stop you from ministering to and stop from helping other people. We got to understand that we got to get ourselves out of it. Then here, we keep on reading that the ministry be not blamed. You know, at Mountain View, you know, I have a couple of administrative assistants, and we consider ourselves within our division family. And we often say to faculty and staff that are part of our division, don't go embarrassing the family. And you say, what does that mean? Don't go out there acting crazy. Don't bring shame to this division. Act like you have some sense. Well, Paul is trying to tell us for the body of Christ, don't go out and shame the body of Christ. Act as if you know who Jesus is. What we have to realize within the body of Christ, if we go out and we do our own thing, we're not representing God. We're representing who? Ourselves. So first, we got to get our emotions out of it. We got to remember always, don't embarrass the family. And then if we keep on going, we find out not only are we not supposed to embarrass the family, but in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God. Making ourselves known as ministers of God. Get your feelings out of it. Don't embarrass the family. But make it a point, a conscious effort, that you are out there trying to not make your name known, not you becoming famous, but your ministry to God becoming what? Famous. They don't know your name, but they do know what you are, what? Doing. They know who God is because of what you are doing as you represent God. And here, that's a hard task, because oftentimes people trying to connect people with names, and here they try to make certain that you are seen for what you're doing. But here, God has a way of allowing your actions, what you have done, overshadow you. And that is the blessing of it all, because if your actions are overshadowing you, then guess what? You can do more for Christ, and people won't come trying to find you. They will try to find who? Jesus. But that's hard to do, because if we keep on reading, we can't stop there. We can't stop there. It's not just about us getting our feelings out of it. It's not just about us not shaming the family. And it's not just about us making our actions bigger than who we are. Because here it gets in the specifics of how God is going to do this. This is a rough part. I hope you're ready for it. Because here we make our actions bigger than us when we endure with much patience. When we find ourselves serving in the midst of afflictions, serving in necessities, when we are in need, we are still what? Serving. Being under distress, but yet what? Still serving. Beaten, but yet what? Still serving. In prison, but yet what? Still serving. In the midst of all types of tumults and issues after issues coming into your life, but yet you're what? Still serving. In the abundance of labors, and in the midst of everybody watching you, and in the midst of your fasting, doing without, whether it's food or without, whatever it is that you choose to abstain from in order to get closer to God, but yet you are still what? Serving. Regardless of what comes your way, they see you what? Serving. That's when your actions become bigger than you. Because people will know you can't handle all of this. But yet you still try to help folk. For me, that's an excuse to stop. Can I tell you? I'm not feeling good today, God. I'm going to stay in bed. No, boy, you need to get up and what? Serve. I don't have enough, God, to be able to do what I got to do. No, boy, you get up and serve anyway. I will provide. You just got to go and stand where I tell you to stand. And when you go and act when I tell you to act, you'll have everything that you need, because it's not about you. It's about me. Boy, don't shame me by being lazy, by giving in to your circumstances, because you're supposed to show the world how to serve, not when things are going right. Because if we serve God when things are going the way they're supposed to go, nobody will be serving. Say, but what about what I'm going through? See, there's something you got to understand is, remember, we got to take ourselves out of it. And it's not about me. and this is the hard part to you all, it's about whatever it is God has called us to do. Because when it becomes about me, that's when the devil can come in and he can cause us to stop doing whatever it is that we're supposed to be doing. And sometimes we feel that we got to do this and this and this to get to the place that we're going. But sometimes when we're trying to get to the place we're going, God provides opportunities for us to help individuals. Sometimes there are circumstances that come our way. It's an opportunity for us to serve God, and we don't realize it because the only thing we're trying to do is trying to solve the problem instead of ministering to the person and allowing God to minister to who? To us. Here, the body of Christ uses the word of God to be able to propel us into greatness in the midst of our service. How in the world can somebody do all of this? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because it's not about how many blessings we get. It's not about how many prayers that are being answered. It's about how God uses us in spite of ourselves. And the only way that God can use us in spite of ourselves is when we allow the Holy Spirit to take over and we take on the character of God by displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Because the latter part of that verse talks about pureness, that's righteousness. All that we do to the glory of God, not to what? Fulfill our own desire. That's pureness. Because some people go through a list, all right, you didn't do all these sins. No, pureness is your motive. Righteousness is why you're doing it. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this to glorify God. And if I seek after God, guess what? The rest of my life lines up. Because if I'm focused on the sin that's in my life, guess what happens? I'm going to sin again. But if I focus on that which God has called me to do, guess what? He will take the taste of whatever it is that I have away from me. But I got to be patient and allow God to do his work in me as I what? Serve. See, in the midst of my service, not only do I serve in the midst of pureness, I serve in the midst of knowledge. That's where the Bible study comes in. That's where the reading of the Word of God comes in. And that's more importantly, that's where prayer comes in. Because I shouldn't be trying to get this just from the preached sermon. I need to be able to have a direct line to God so that the Holy Spirit could be my personal tutor with my life circumstances so I can truly understand the Word of God. Because here, God realizes that we need a special tutor, and he's called the Holy Spirit to tell us how to live out our lives through the Word of God. And here, that's where the knowledge comes from. When the Holy Spirit leads, guides, and makes the Word of God what? Real to us. Where it's just not something on paper, but yet it's something that we see that we're living every day of our lives when we what? Are serving others. That's where the knowledge comes in. Then if you keep on reading, it's talking about long-suffering and kindness. Here, those again, those are the fruit of the Spirit. Here, we have to realize that when we're helping others, we shouldn't have a nasty attitude. We got to be what? Kind. When we help others, we shouldn't be telling them about our problems. Well, you think you got it bad. Let me tell you what happened to me today. We put it in God's hand. That's how we know that we can do the work of God, because we're putting it in his hand and we're trusting in him to handle this as we what? Address the circumstance. And yes, it sometimes feels so overwhelming, but guess what? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. That's real. And it becomes real to us when God begins not to show up, but just show up, but he shows out in the midst of our circumstances. When we don't try to do it and we trust in him, all of a sudden people come in and do what we can't do. Then that which we thought we had to do for some reason doesn't have to be done. Why? Because God, what? Took care of it. We serve a God that's not limited by the standards of man. We just got to do what the Word of God says do We have to find ourselves allowing the Holy Spirit to act through us and do some crazy things that demonstrate the love of God. And then we will be able to overcome our fears and our doubts and our worries. Because God is not going to ask us to do the what? The normal. The Word of God tells us that. That's our sword. See, it's our battle against the devil. Because what we have to understand is we're not going into the circumstances that God has placed us in with our truth. It has to be God's truth. It can't be in our power. It has to be in God's power. It can't be by our will. It has to be by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You say, boy, that sounds good. How do I do that? One step at a time. Because I've already shared with you, it's all about the choices that we make. When we have a choice, it's not about what I want. We got to begin praying, God, what do you want? Remember, we've been praying this prayer for a long time. God, open the doors that need to be open. Close the doors that need to be closed. And give me the wisdom to discern between the two. And God will be, he'll start opening doors and he'll start what? Closing doors. Now, when he closes the door, don't try to open it. And you say, we laugh, but I'm telling you, I want this door, Lord. No, it's closed. Walk away from it and find that what? Open door. We have to realize the choices that we make dictates whether or not we are on God's plan or our plan. And we have to seek him daily about the choices that we have to make. And you say, I don't know what to do. Then you have to rely on one thing. What demonstrates the love of God the most? That's it. What demonstrates the love of God, not to you, but to others, the most? What is it that God would want me to do to help somebody else? Will this help somebody, or will it just help me? Will this relieve a burden on someone else, or will it just get this person off my back? We have to begin looking at our lives as we begin to understand the fruit of the Spirit. Does this show kindness? Does this show gentleness? My actions or the actions of which Christ would show in the midst of his meekness? Does this show forth the love of God? Were those words kind? Was I gentle to that person? Should I have said that to them? Did that hurt that person's feelings? That's what we as Christians should begin thinking about. You say, I'm not going to do all of that. That don't make no sense. Just do something and get it over with. No. That's what the world does. Yes. We have to realize that we must be intentional in the things that we do every day of our lives. And serving God. Because here, if we're just at home doing what we want to do, making the people around us happy, that'll last for a while. But there will come a time when we will be held accountable for the actions that we have taken and the actions in which we did not take. And you know something? That's not when we face Jesus at the great white throne of judgment. That's here on earth. Because life will betray you. And the only thing that we will have is who? Jesus. And if we have been depending on Jesus, it will show when our frailties come in to effect. When I'm no longer able to lift up 150 pounds with one arm. When I'm no longer able to do all these great things with my mind and my step is a little bit slower. when I need to depend on some folk, and rather than me being the one to serve others. Life will let you know what you have been doing was for the Lord or for you. Because it will all come back. You will reap what you what? Oh, you know! You know that! You know that! You know that! And you can't just sow to those people that you think are going to come back and give to you. Because let me tell you, those are the main ones who will not do a thing for you. I'm going to help him out because I know when it gets tough, he's going to come through. No, he's not. That is why we have to find ourselves in the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to us and do some crazy things as we serve. And sometimes we find ourselves burdened down with the issues of life and the circumstances that God has left you with. But that's when we hunker down and we seek God the hardest to find out what it is that we need to do in the midst of this situation so that we can show forth his light in us. That's what it's about, Mount Sinai. When we use the sword of the Spirit, it's about us showing forth the love of God. It's about us serving the body of Christ and serving the whole world so that the world will be able to see God's word in action. It's about us being bigger than ourselves and allowing our actions to outshine us. And the only way we can do that is by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us to do some dynamic things that we don't have the resources to accomplish. When we allow God to use us instead of allowing us to seek out our own dreams and accomplishments. And what we have to realize is that this is something that Jesus did for us. He came down here, wrapped himself in flesh. And he didn't say, well, I'm going to be the president of Israel. I'm going to be king of Israel. Forget all y'all. No. He came with a servant's heart. He didn't tell God, now God the Father, you put me down. You know, you ain't right. You know what we would have done if we were born in a manger. You ain't right. I gave up everything. I gave up heaven. And you put me in a barn. And here I have to use a feeding trough as my bed. God, you ain't right. You know, hey, take me home. You're not treating me right. These are not workable conditions, God. But no, he didn't say a word. He just what? He just served. When he was wrapped in his flesh and he started feeling pain and he started sweating and dealing with all of these emotions, Jesus didn't say, I quit. I don't want to do this. No, he suffered through it, even though he what? Didn't have to do it. He didn't have to become man, but he did so because he had to show us how we are supposed to serve. Here, he didn't seek after the blessings of God for himself. No, 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 no. He went to the places where nobody wanted to go, and he ministered to the individuals that everybody forgot about. And here he did so because he realized they needed him what? More than those folk over there that have everything. Well, we have to understand that we don't have an excuse because Jesus already set the standard. We're supposed to serve in spite of. And you know something? Jesus didn't even complain when they lied on him. He didn't complain when they stole from him. He didn't complain when they beat him. Didn't complain when they put a crown of thorns on his head. Didn't complain when they spat on him. Now, he's dying for their sin, and they're spitting on him, pulling out his hair, hitting him as he carries the cross, that old rugged cross up Calvary's Hill, pushing him down as he struggles with this cross. And he's doing this for who? For them. He was able to use the sword of the Spirit because here the word of God was in him, and he realized that he was carrying out the word of God because somebody had to do something in order to save us from ourselves. And he knew the only way it could be done is that he would carry that old rugged cross up Calvary's Hill. He knew what he was supposed to do. He knew what God had asked him to do. And he did it, and he didn't complain not one bit, even after they nailed him to the cross and lifted him up high to suffocate to death. He died on the cross in service to God. He died on the cross out of love for God. He died and he showed all gentleness and meekness and kindness. He showed us what true long-suffering and patience is really all about. He showed us what love is as he what? Died on the cross. As he swung that sword, defeating the devil. As he showed forth the kindness and the love that God gave him to show us what we are supposed to do likewise. No, I'm not telling you to go to Jerusalem and die on the cross. I'm just telling you to do what you can to show the love of God to somebody that God has put in your path. You don't have to go way over into South Africa. Just pay attention to what God has put in your path. And act on that which he has put in your heart to do. See, the great thing about it, when we die to ourselves, we're able to experience what Jesus experienced on that third day. Because here, once he died and they placed him in that borrowed tomb, early Sunday morning, he rose up out of the grave. With what? All power and all glory. If we allow God to use us, we will see the power, we'll see the glory of God as he uses us and make things happen that appear to be impossible, but they become possible with who? With God. See, we can pray and we can ask, but our prayers are really about God, lead me. Not just, God, take this away. God, guide me. Not God, just fix this problem. Because the problems and our circumstances are placed in our path in order that we may be able to understand his word better and grow. So when the real trial comes, we're ready. Because as we continue on in this life, the devil is not going to go, oh boy, it's time for me to quit messing with you. No, his attack gets a little bit meaner, gets a little bit harder, because he knows that you're getting too close to heaven, and he has to stop. And he's going to use any means necessary. But we have to understand, we have the sword of the Spirit. And when we begin to look for the needs in others rather than ourselves, then God will be able to show you how he will address your need, how he will help you overcome. When we begin to not look at how we're going to climb up the ladder, but yet try to make certain what we're doing glorify God, guess what? He will what? Lift us up. You don't even have to ask for the promotion. The promotion will be what? Given. All because of the work that God will be able to show them that you were doing. Because of the fact that you've been doing what God has asked you to do, he will bless wherever you work. He will bless whatever house that you're in. And people will want you to be a part of them, all because of who you are serving. Oh, Mount Sinai, you have a sword. You have the word of God. Don't just read it. Don't just study it. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring it out of you and live it every day of your life. Because the devil will give you a cross. Don't throw it away. Take it to your Calvary so that you can have your Sunday morning experience. Because you are a child of God. And he wants to do something great for you and through you. There may be someone present here today that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. We give you this opportunity to come down any one of these aisles. Give me your hand and guide your heart. And allow him to come in and do his great work to you and through you. And the first step of becoming a part of the family of God is just simply this. Believe. Believe that Jesus Christ has died on the cross. Not for some of your sins, but for what? All of your sins. Believe that not only that Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of your sins, you have to believe that he did that because he is the Son of God. And the Son of God did something special for you so that we all can become a part of something great, which is the family of Christ. Not only that, you got to believe. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, the most important thing you have to believe is that you are not only forgiven, but you have the power to say no to sin through the Holy Spirit. Not through your own real power, but through the Holy Spirit. And if you believe those three things, it's the beginning of something great, because here, your belief will bring forth repentance. What do you mean, repentance? That's a big word.